and welcome to the post-production podcast. This is Kiri. Why am I talking like I'm answering the phone? This is post-production podcast. This is Kiri. How can I help you?
And welcome to the post-production podcast phone tree.
Yes.
Dial 1 to reach Rachel. Dial 2 to reach Kiri. Dial 3 to reach imminent production-themed chaos. Dial 7 to reach our Spanish line. Hang up if you hate it here.
Don't hang up.
We want to hang out with you.
Anyway, this is a post-production podcast. Rachel and I are AV technicians. This is where we share our experiences and talk about all kinds of production things. So
true.
If you're new to the podcast, buckle up. Here we go. Rachel's got some broccoli and cheddar soup. Was it like instant soup? Is that what you were saying?
No, that sounds gross.
That
sounds gross. It was more of like a soup mix that I acquired at Aldi yesterday.
Gruce soup.
It is delicious. Maybe we should do a soup of the month bit on post-production podcast, because if there's any food I eat consistently, it's soup. I love soup.
It's quick and easy.
True that.
Just the way you like it. Is it like one of those powder ones where you just like put it in water?
Not quite. It was more of a chunk.
Oh, okay.
Grody.
A brick.
A brick of soup mix, if you will.
Brick soup.
Anyways. So welcome to the podcast. I'm not gonna promise that we talk about production stuff like the whole time, because we definitely get on rabbit trails, but see, we're allowed to do that because it's our podcast, and we hope you will join us in our rabbit trailing, whether it's talking about our production experiences that week or dubiously critiquing the latest popular works. We're glad you're here and along for the ride.
Yes.
Speaking of popular works, guess what I watched this week?
Wakanda Forever?
Yes!
I want to watch it. Don't spoil anything.
I will not spoil anything, but here's what I will say.
I can't wait for it to destroy me.
It did destroy me. It didn't destroy me as much as I thought it would, to be honest, which is kind of a good thing. I was going to be pretty bummed out if I just went and like cried through the entire movie. Because the thing I loved about the first Black Panther was like just like the energy and empowerment that just like radiated throughout the whole storyline and every character. The first Black Panther movie continues to be one of my favorite Marvel movies, if not my favorite Marvel movie.
Need to watch it again.
Black Panther 2, aka Wakanda Forever, is incredible, to be honest. And this is my opinion.
I believe you. Yes.
There's a lot to be said for how hard it is to create a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
To a movie that was as popular and groundbreaking as the first movie.
Yeah.
Especially when your primary star is not in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And for those of you that unfortunately may have been living under a rock recently, the original Black Panther, if you will, who was played by Chadwick Boseman, unfortunately was not in the second movie because Chadwick Boseman died of cancer before they were able to film.
Yes.
And it was very sad and we all cried and all the things. But the second Black Panther movie was dedicated to him, which is really cool.
I can't wait to watch it.
And I heard, and I haven't verified this, so no one fact check me, I did hear that Chadwick Boseman's name was still listed on every call sheet for Wakanda Forever, which is really, really sweet. So I really hope it's true because it makes me weep.
Man. Yeah, the two celebrity deaths that hit me the hardest were Chadwick Boseman and Carrie Fisher. Because just two people who were in such great movies that I've loved. And Chadwick Boseman seemed like one of those people, just watching interviews of him, like you could just like sit down and have a coffee with him and talk about anything and he wouldn't judge you, just sit there and listen, you know, just seemed like such a nice guy.
Yeah, for real.
Man, can't wait to see Wakanda Forever and probably cry. I'm expecting it at this point.
Yeah.
How was Letitia Wright?
Oh my goodness.
I love her.
I could not say enough positive things about Letitia Wright's performance in
Black Panther,
Wakanda Forever. I will not spoil it, but I will say I loved her character in the first movie, and I feel like the second movie was just an incredibly like raw and vulnerable look at the character of Princess Shuri, because she was the lead in the second movie.
Yay!
honestly, like, the whole cast is just, like, strong, beautiful women who portrayed just vibrant characters, to be honest.
I am so excited.
Yeah, dude, you're gonna love it. I need you to see it soon so we can, like, super unpack it here on the podcast, but
okay.
The preview says, I loved it. I think there were some film critics who felt a little bit let down by it, which I think you could say that about literally any sequel to a popular movie. So I'm not overly interested in debating, like, oh, like, did the sequel suck? Because, like, at the end of the day, your opinion of a movie is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I had an incredible experience watching that movie, and I would pay to watch it again in theater, which says a lot.
Ooh. So another popular work, have you been watching Andor at all?
No, which makes me
okay.
A terrible person of geekery. It's on my list.
It's okay. There's only one episode left.
Well, truly, at first I just wasn't watching it because I was busy.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm kind of just holding out so that when the last episode drops, I can just binge the entire series.
Yeah. And you will want to.
That's kind of my goal at this point. I've heard it is incredible.
It is. It's very different from the kind of Star Wars we're used to. It moves a lot slower. Well, it's a little more deliberate, I should say, with the buildup. So, like, that's why they dropped the first three episodes at once, because the first two episodes were all setting up for the climax of the third episode. And so, like, I just knowing Star Wars fans, they would have been so mad if they only dropped just the first episode alone, or even just the first two. So I'm glad they did the first three. But that's kind of the structure of it, is it's just very methodical build up to an event. And then we move on to the next thing. And then it's a lot of just, it's very dialogue heavy, very focused on the ordinary people. Of the Empire.
I kind of love that, though.
There haven't been any Jedi, no Force, or anything like that, and I think that's...
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars has needed more focus on that.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's something to be said for, like, the world of Star Wars is intriguing to people because of how complex it is. You have all these planets, you have all these different orders of people and aliens, and you have the Force, and you have all the politics and whatever. But to be honest, like, a lot of that stuff isn't actually in the primary Star Wars media, the movies mm-hmm. and the series and whatnot. Like, you get glimpses into it enough to provide some context. But, like, I think where, like, the deep world building comes in is, like, when you go dive deep into the books and the comics and the wiki fandom and all that. And so it's kind of nice to see a series coming out that really, really focuses on just world building in the series itself, instead of you having to kind of do, like, secondary research to obtain, like, full knowledge of that piece of the Star Wars world, if you will.
Sequel trilogy. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's not a complaint. Like,
it's a legitimate criticism.
I love Star Wars. And I love, like, they keep it fast paced for a reason. And it's engaging and fun, and it's what makes the movies watchable over and over and over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think, I do think it is a valid criticism to say, like, it is a little frustrating sometimes to feel like you don't have the full scope of the knowledge, or that you're not a good enough fan because you don't have time to go read 12 books in order to fully understand what's going on.
Yeah. MCU. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, both big fandoms with a lot of content.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Andor is excellent. And there are also a lot of just stellar performances from women actresses. You will enjoy that as well. Hey, speaking of something with a lot of content, if you follow me on Instagram, you may have noticed that I posted that we were having some issues with our catalog. So.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Oops, I forgot about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we should talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah. So where to start? Okay. So kids, how to podcast 101. In order to distribute our podcast to all the different platforms, we upload each episode to an RSS platform, a podcasting host, right? And once we upload that file, type in the title and the description and everything, then pew, it sends it out to Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, in case mm-hmm. you were wondering. So follow us on all three of those if you have them. And I guess, long story short, our original podcasting platform was going out of business, so I migrated the podcast to Anchor. But we have 97 if you count the two one-off episodes, the controversy episode and the one where we took our first hiatus. We had 97 episodes, and apparently that's too much for Anchor to import at once, which is bad business.
True.
Especially if you, for podcasts that have been around forever, they can't move to Anchor because they have so many episodes. Like, that's terrible. So the first 20 of our episodes did not move over, and Anchor somehow replaced them with some other episodes from other podcasters, and I couldn't even find who they were because it was all our information instead of theirs.
Right.
So I don't even know who those people were. Yeah, so this was over the course of a few days, and we finally, I was chatting with Anchor support, and we finally decided that they were like, okay, just manually upload the first 20 of your episodes and lie about the date so that they fall in the right order, and then you're all set. So everything is back the way it's supposed to be, but because I had to re-upload those episodes, that means we lost all our stats. So I don't know if I would want you to do this, but you can go back and listen to some of our earliest episodes. I did, and this is one of those things where, like, there's a lot of content, and just statistically, some of the things, listener, I'll let you decide for yourself. It's subjective. But because I'm in these episodes, I'm a little more critical.
That's fair.
Some of the episodes are just really cringy. It is kind of cute, though. Like,
and I will say, like, yeah, we were 2 years younger and brand new to podcasting. We didn't know a lot. We're still learning, even to this day. But yeah, if you want to kind of hear where the post-production podcast started,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, maybe be a little impressed by how far we've come, you can go give those first 20 or so episodes a listen. But yeah, so we're glad that they finally came over, but
it was kind of cute to hear all the things that stuck and the things that didn't, like our synchronized post-production podcast goodbye, like, mm-hmm. at the end, like, that was almost directly from the beginning. Just, you know, fun little things like that. Our first BuzzFeed quiz, you know, all that stuff. But yes, listen to those episodes. And
yeah, it also is
cringe along with us.
A lesson for those of you who, like, either are podcasting or are looking into maybe one day starting a podcast, we highly recommend doing a lot of research about where you host your podcast. Because honestly, where we were hosting ours was fine until we found out that they were going out of business in this mm-hmm. next January. And to be honest, we are grateful for Anchor support and, like, everything that they did to help Kiri with that problem.
Yes.
But it is tough, like, hosting your podcast one place and then having to move everything 2 years later.
Yeah. So. And the thing is, when we first started, that original podcasting host was the only one that was free at the time.
Yeah.
And it was, like, wasn't listed on any of the import your podcast from one of these more popular hosts. So I would always have to, like, just put in the link myself instead of going through the usual links. But then Anchor came out claiming to be the first, like, free podcasting hosting platform, and they're not. So I moved everything to Anchor, and they were the customer service was great. It just took forever.
Yeah.
But we did it. We figured it out.
For real.
Also on Anchor, you can leave comments. So if you're listening from the Anchor app, I think they have an app. Mm-hmm. You can leave comments and reviews and things like that. So
yeah, which does mean now I think we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Anchor. So that's pretty crazy.
And Anchor and Spotify are linked. So
2 years ago, us would not believe we're on four platforms.
Yeah. Or 97 going on 98 episodes.
Yeah, for real. Hey, guys, tell us what we should do for our 100th episode.
We're going to do a Q&A.
Well, yeah, but there's all sorts of content.
Other things we can do.
We're happy to bring to you. So, yeah.
Maybe it could be a little bit longer than usual.
Shoot us questions. Yeah. Send us ideas. Like, what do you want to hear from us? Etc. etc. So you can contact us either through our website.
I always forget about that thing.
Which is What?
Postprodpod.com.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was going to say postproductionpod.com, but that's our TikTok name.
Yeah, you can follow us there too.
Find us on postprodpod.com. Contact us there. Send us ideas if you want. Or you can always shoot us a message on Instagram. Find me at Rachel HNH or Kiri at Kiri underscore Jones. And that's K-Y-R-I underscore Jones.
Kiri. So yeah, that was last week's adventures in podcasting.
It's true.
Any other exciting production things happen to you?
Oh man, dude, I'm going to be honest. I spent my whole week color grading and moving fixtures, which are two very different production pursuits, but that felt equally challenging. So I'll start with the color grading story, which this is a lesson to all of us. When you shoot a person and whoa, let me restart that sentence. When you film a person, holy cow,
ooh, sorry
I do
that.
Not support gun violence. All right, everyone, deep breath.
Ooh, one more time.
Let me restart. Beep, reset button. When you film a person on a set, it is good to be conscious of all the environmental factors at play. And if you have a gut feeling that maybe you messed up the lighting, you should fix it on set.
Yes.
Do not tell yourself, I can fix it in post.
Nope.
Because then what will happen is
you will fix it in post.
You will begin editing a video of a small child and you had a huge purple backlight on him. And in the moment you said, that looks a little strong. But I can take it out using hue, saturation, and luminance in Lumetri Color in Adobe Premiere. That's what I told myself. I said, this doesn't look awesome, but I can fix it in post. Reader, I could have fixed this problem in 10 seconds, and instead I spent probably 10 hours learning advanced color grading, trying to fix this poor kid's hair.
Well, now you know.
Yeah. And for those of you that listened to our lighting episode way back in the beyond with Isaiah Schwani, I literally had to call him up and ask for a long tutorial in advanced color grading in DaVinci Resolve because Adobe Premiere literally was not powerful enough to do the amount of color grading we needed to do to turn this kid back to blonde. Like he was that purple. He looked like a Smurf, like, smashed into a blueberry. I can't explain to you. You guys, like, and I will take full responsibility. I should have corrected it on set, and I did not. And that's on me, and I learned a lesson. So I spent, like, multiple days this week color grading this poor kid's hair so he was not purple. And stealing all of Schwani's knowledge from his brain so that I could be better at color theory.
Left nothing left in there.
Yeah, true. I took all of the brain cells. But yeah, so that's what I did for the first part of my week. And then on Thursday, I finally tackled a project I've been meaning to tackle production-wise. It's been on my to-do list for a long time. We have a couple of bars in one of our venues that have like an array of LED backlights on them, right?
Oh, bars, like battens. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, like a truss, but the small version.
I was like, wow, okay, you got bars in the church, all right.
No bars. I mean, like, a bar hanging from the ceiling with little lighty boys on them. But we've had a couple of those fixtures crap out on us, respectfully. Okay, here's my brief resource management lesson to those of you who are considering going into AVL production. There is only so much money worth spending on servicing a light fixture that cost under $200 to start with.
Yep.
I'm sure, like, Kiri, out of the two of us, for those of you that don't know, has infinitely more lighting knowledge.
Infinitely? I don't know about that, but okay.
She has much more. I primarily just work with fixtures, putting them down, re-aiming, refocusing, dimmer packs, et cetera, et cetera. So I work more with fixtures. Kiri is on the lighting programming end and knows much more than I do. However, we decided, my coworker and I, that it was time to fix the cruddy lighting situation because as of, you know, a couple days ago, anytime we fired up a lighting preset, the backlights like intermittently worked. Like two of them would work and then one would be dead and then another two would work and then the next one would be dead. Huh. And so it was this really like asymmetrical and very obviously bad look. And so we pulled down all the ones that were broken and then had to hang like the rest of them, which meant we had to measure the bar and then do the math of like how far apart we needed to space them. So it ended in me being at the tippy top of an extension ladder, manipulating very poorly installed fixture clamps and trying to hang on to a tape measure, which I dropped like 12 times. So it's a good thing I didn't concuss my coworker. It took forever, you guys. Like, it took like 4 hours.
Did you put like spike tape or something on the spaces so that you know where to put lights next time you have to change fixtures?
No, I just eyeballed it, to be honest. However,
okay.
We have like the way I manage the cables, and this is probably not kosher, but again, you work with what you have, right? And so I had, you know, a lot of cables running around up in the ceiling, and a lot of them had a lot of slack. So they were like drooping way far down below the fixtures, which I think looks sloppy. And so the way I fixed it was I just gaff taped the residual cable like right next to each fixture, kind of hidden behind it.
Right.
So you can't see it if you're in the crowd or honestly, even on stage, it's pretty hard to tell.
Oh, that's what the gaff tape was for. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and so
I was
then,
wondering why you needed gaff tape to hang lights.
Right. And so then what Kiri's referring to is in the center of this stage, there is like a huge like wooden cutout of a cross shape.
Like in the wall, not out.
Yeah, it's in the wall. At one point, I was hanging lights kind of above the cross. And I set down my gaff tape and my tape measure inside the cross for a minute so I could like have both hands. And then I grabbed my tape measure to use it for something, came down from the ladder, moved the ladder and everything. 2 hours later, I was like, where is my gaff tape? I have been looking for it forever. And I like glance over and I see it like just in the cross. And I was like, oh, so I made a funny little story about it. But anyways, you live and you learn.
Yeah,
it was a good experience.
That's what life is about.
So true.
Color grading and gaff tape.
Color grading and fixture hanging. And yep. If that isn't like a good story that is an example of what it's like to be an AV generalist, if you will, I don't know what is.
You sound like you're trying to hit the word count on an essay with that.
Good grief, Kiri. Well, consider like, I don't know, a lot of people within the world of production specialize, which is smart if you're like really good at a thing or like really like naturally drawn to a thing. A lot of people are also generalists. Like you can jump in with a live production and like have some base knowledge and some basic use in like any of the areas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like my goal in my position as like a production coordinator is to be a good and solid generalist. Like to have good basic knowledge in lighting and in audio and in video. And so I think I do everything I can throughout all my tasks in a week to be learning more through each task I do.
Yeah, and I was thinking like when you're in a coordinator position or a manager position, AV management, you kind of have to know at least a little bit about everything, especially things that are specific to your venue.
Yeah.
So that you can jump on something if like somebody is homesick or like you need help with a thing that's broken or, you know, you got to know all the things.
Yeah. Well, and the valuable thing, especially as a coordinator and not just like a technician, is you have to be fluent in all of the production languages, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But a valuable, valuable skill is being able to take that language and translate it into language that is understandable to people who don't have a tech background.
Right.
So yeah. Especially like, you know, if you're working at a concert venue, you don't have to translate as much because it's likely that most people there will just speak your language. If you're working at, like, I work at a church, for example, a multi-campus church, and so I often have to be able to translate production needs or requests or problems into language that, like, other departments of the church can understand. So if they come to me and say, like, why can't I have 12 wireless mics in this venue? Like, I have to kindly explain to them that I can only create RF diversity for about 5 wireless mics. And beyond that, we'll have to chat about various options. But like, if I blabber at them for 12 minutes about like, oh, wireless frequency this and like RF interference that and like antenna this and antenna that, like, that's not like accessible language and it doesn't like equip them to have a good event. Mm-hmm. And like my job is to coordinate production in a way that allows events to happen well. I think there's a lot of value in being able to speak a production language enough that you fully understand what's going on, even if you're not a subject matter expert, and then take that and translate so that you can interface with your client or other departments at your job, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, like yesterday, 2 days ago, something like that, a client was using one of our rooms for a meeting of some kind. It was like for a sorority or something. And they requested streaming. And we were like, why? But okay. And turns out they just meant that they wanted to be able to communicate with people over Zoom. They thought that streaming meant having the Zoom meeting like up on the TV and connected and everything. And so we were like, oh, okay. They're very nice people, but they needed some help understanding the things.
Valid.
Clearing things up for them. Let's see. I got some new wall paneling for my little podcasting corner here. Rachel recommended going to Amazon to look for some cheap like audio paneling. I found some little hexagons, set them up. Those came in last week, I think. So I made lines of hexagons. I got two colors, so it looks like not boring, but it is gray and black, so there's that. While I was scrolling through all of my options, I noticed there were a lot of sound panels with, or acoustic panels with art on them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I thought, that's interesting. And I looked over at my wall. I've got this one wall. I've got my podcasting corner here. And then to my left is like my TV with some canvases with art on them. And I thought, if only I had like a slab of foam, I could just like put some foam behind those canvases and just turn those into some DIY acoustic paneling. And guess what? I had a slab of foam just lying around. This is gross, but my mattress pad from college, I still had that. And so I,
wow.
Because like when I first moved in here, I don't know, I guess my mom was like, you never know, you might need it. I haven't used it. Maybe I used it when I was on an air mattress for like 2 weeks, but I think that was it. It was just taking up space, which in an apartment, you just don't want things to take up space. I was like, okay, I can use that. I can cut this up. And so I measured my canvases and like cut little strips. Actually, I didn't even cut it. I just, trying to use scissors was like difficult and took too long because, you know, I was like, it should be better. It would be better if it was like flat so that it's not like poking out from behind the canvas and it's all uneven and everything. So I just ripped it with my bare hands instead. Actually, my first idea was to use a pizza cutter, and that didn't work at all.
Oh, wow.
So it was very DIY.
Talk about working with what you got.
Yeah, and I had some painter's tape, and I used that to secure the strips to the canvas. So that's what I did on the big one. I threw the rest of the mattress pad away, and then I have some smaller canvases that are like standard thickness, and I remembered that at work, we have some leftover pluck foam. Pluck foam is like this really sturdy perforated foam that we use to store AV equipment in the flight cases, like those big boxes. And it's called pluck foam because you can take pieces out to create just the right shape so that the equipment fits all snugly and safely. And so we had some leftovers of that. I just took that home, ripped it apart, put it in the backs of the canvases, and it fit perfectly. So let me show you. I'm going to get some of these off the wall so I can show you what I've done. And I have been watching Fixer Upper, so you can blame that on Joe Gaines herself.
No shiplap.
Oops. But you see this?
Oh, wow.
I have the pluck foam with the painter's tape. It's all good. And these canvases, this art is an accident as well. So just this whole thing is very DIY. Before moving into my apartment, or before even seeing it for the first time, I ordered a shower curtain, and I did not know that the shower has a door here. So I just had this shower curtain that I'd spent money on, and somebody suggested that I cut it out and wrap it around the canvas. to make some art. Cool. So that's what this is. You can kind of hear it with the texture.
That's sick, though. That's a great idea.
And it's like this, listeners, it's a like a marbly pattern, so it looks like art. It's not like fish or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought some canvases from Walmart, measured them, cut out rectangles from the shower curtain, and just stapled them to the frame. And so it's art.
Incredible.
I'm gonna put this back real quick. Rachel will entertain you while I hang this back up on my wall. She will do a perfect reenactment of the good soup meme.
And here we see the wild Kiri in her natural habitat, rehanging her DIY canvas, inspired by the great Joanna Gaines on Fixer Upper, a show we made fun of like 2 weeks ago on this very podcast. Wow.
I get the feeling you were talking about me.
Yep. That's what you get for taking out your headphones to go put away your canvas.
Yeah. Well, in the process of setting up my new little podcasting setup, I got to clean out my desk. And I have all these school supplies left over from college that I haven't used since because my job is so different. So I'm kind of figuring out what to do with all of that stuff that's left over. So it's slowly beginning to look like an actual adult lives here, not a freshly hatched college student trying to find herself.
Fair.
So anyway, that's how I am. Oh, here's something new and different. I have a book recommendation.
Oh, yeah?
So we are currently recording this in November, which in the U.S. is Native American Heritage Month. So I was looking through my local library's online collection of books that they believe lift up Native American voices and tell their stories. So I've been reading a book called On Her Shoulders. Hey everybody, this is post-production Kiri. I just want to make a quick little correction here. The book is called Upon Her Shoulders, not On Her Shoulders, which I will continue to say throughout the rest of the episode, but just remember it is Upon Her Shoulders. You can find it on Hoopla and perhaps other ebook sites as well, and maybe even at your local library. So, Upon Her Shoulders, check that out. It's an anthology, so there's lots of different editors and authors and things like that. And it's a collection of stories, biographies, autobiographies, interviews, and poems by or about Native American women from the southeastern United States. So it's really interesting, and it's really just cool to read these stories about Native American women who have done things for their community and or beyond, and to read their poetry and listen to their voices. Because I think it is important to understand our history with the Indigenous people of the United States, but so often we get so caught up in that we forget to focus on what is happening right now and listen to the voices of the people who are here now. And reading their stories is a great way to do that.
Yeah.
And some of the stories are incredible. Some of them are pretty rough. So it might be triggering for some people, so keep that in mind if you want to read it. On Her Shoulders is what it's called.
Mm. Yeah, I'll have to give that a read, honestly.
Yeah.
I will say, too, for those of you listening who are podcast fans in general, there are a lot of podcasts about Indigenous issues currently as well, specifically like an issue I've come to know more about and like to feel more passionate about is the topic of missing and murdered Indigenous women, which is just kind of this horrifying epidemic that is quietly running through our country right now.
Because there's so much focus on the history, we forget to focus on what's happening right now.
Yeah, and what is happening right now is there are a lot of communities, tribal communities in the U.S. That are experiencing just this plague of missing and murdered women from their community. And often these deaths or disappearances are not investigated thoroughly, or they're even fully like swept under the rug. And so if you're a podcast fan, there are a lot of podcasts out there that are starting to shed more light on this issue. So when we release this episode of post-production, I will go ahead and highlight some of my favorite MMIW podcasts, especially again during this Heritage Month. I highly recommend that you participate in bringing awareness to just the epidemic that is women's issues in Indigenous communities right now. So yeah, That's my TED talk.
Yes. I truly believe that you don't have to be like the stereotypical loud, shouty type of person to be an activist.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you're just not into the idea of going to a protest that's super crowded with lots of people, or maybe you're not on social media a whole lot. I think one of the best ways you can empower voices that aren't heard very often is to just listen to mm-hmm. their stories, listen to their podcasts, read their stories, watch their stories. That is one of the best ways you can empower them. So
yeah, well, and as content creators, like, I don't know, that term is thrown around a lot, but there is really something to be said for those of us who are creating content, or even if you are just consuming content, media of any kind, whether that is podcasts or books or documentaries or the news or any of that. What you watch and what you give credibility to is huge. So if you even dedicate some time to listening to or watching or consuming media that clearly lifts up Indigenous voices, not just this month, but all the time, every yeah. month, the whole year round, even just that participation in people's mission and people's activism to lift these voices up is huge. So I don't know. I'm a huge believer that even just mindful consumerism when it comes to content that is out there can be activism if you choose wisely.
Yeah, and give credit where credit is due.
Exactly.
And often the shouters will shout over the voices they're trying to lift up.
Yes.
So it is important to just like quiet yourself and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big part of activism too. Because it is currently Native American Heritage Month, a lot of these shows and books and podcasts and things are much more pushed to the forefront of the various platforms. So they're a lot easier to find right now. So I would say take advantage of that and find resources and media to consume while it's pretty easy to find. And those podcasts and authors and directors will probably also direct you to other work that you probably wouldn't be able to find otherwise. So
mm-hmm. Hang on 1 minute, I need to let coworker
in. Yes, like I hear knocking on the door. Rachel's so popular. See, now she's stepped away from the microphone so we can talk about her. Let's see, she's got a pillow on her couch that says plant parent, which is very on brand, I have to say. She's got a new microphone, sounds very crisp, needs a pop filter.
Fun fact, I thought that was a coworker getting here, and it was definitely just an Amazon package.
Oh, what'd you get?
I was like, dang, he's early. I don't know, it's for my roommate.
Oh.
Anyways, well. You were saying?
Oh, I was just talking about your plants in the background and how they're looking very planty.
So true. Well, shall we wrap?
Absolutely. Okay, thank you for listening to the post-production podcast. If you're not following us, you better get on that. push that follow button or subscribe button. Leave us a rating and or a comment or review. We will only take it seriously if it's 5 stars.
Oh my goodness. We're not bribing you or anything. But yeah, so as we mentioned earlier, you can find us on 4 platforms now. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
Goggle Podcasts.
And Anchor now. So, yeah, no matter where we're listening, we really are so glad that you guys are here. We are truly, like, happy to be doing over 2 years of podcasting together. We're grateful yeah. for the journey that is, and we're glad that you're joining us, whether you've been here from the beginning or whether you're just now joining. We're super stoked you're here, and we would love to hear from you more. So you can check us out more on other platforms. You can find both Kiri and I on Instagram. Again, that's at RachelHNH and at Kyri_Jones, KYRI_Jones. You can also find our TikTok. We are at Post-Production Pod on the TikTok.
TikTok.
We create spontaneously there because, again, we both work full-time jobs and this is our side thing that we love to do. But keep an eye out. We have some exciting stuff actually coming to TikTok soon.
Yes.
So jump on the clock app. Again, that's at Post Production Pod. And keep your eyes peeled for More exciting content there. Kiri, where else can they find us on the web?
Well, I mean, we have postprodpod.com that sometimes gets updated. And we might do more things on there eventually, one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's pretty much it. And hit that follow button. Thank you for listening.
We'll see you next time.
Next time. This has been the Post-Production
Podcast. Yeah! Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.